Growing up, I had this book of short stories, and I was cleaning out the garage this past week, because it seems like I do that between Christmas and New Year's almost every year. All the stuff that I've collected that I thought I needed and that I don't really need, and then I finally get rid of it. But in a bin, I found this book, and it's supposed to be a book of children's stories, but it's filled with really heart-wrenching things like The Little Match Girl. Have you ever read that story? Good grief. Here, let me read this to you right before you go to sleep, son. You know. And in there is also a story called The Gift of the Magi. I don't know if you've ever read that one by O. Henry. I'm going to try to recall it to your memories here a little bit. It's interesting that it's called The Gift of the Magi because it doesn't talk about the three kings from the east or much of anything in there until he makes a comparison at the end. But it's a story about a young couple, okay? Jim and Della, they are very much in love, and they're very much poor. They don't have anything to be able to do much with. They can barely afford to pay the rent in their one-bedroom apartment, and for Christmas, Della decides that she's going to buy Jim a chain for his pocket watch. And this is a very special watch. It's handed down to him from his father, who received it from his father. And so you can get the idea that there's great sentimental value attached to this, and so she's going to get a chain for his watch. And it was really the only thing that Jim owned that had real value. And so, to raise the funds in order to buy this chain, because Della doesn't have anything, she agrees that her knee-length, beautiful brown hair should be cut off and sold to a wig maker. Okay? So she loved having this hair, she took care of it, she prided herself on it, but it was really the only thing of value that she had that she could sell. And so at the same time, unbeknownst to Della, Jim sells his watch to buy her a beautiful set of combs for her beautiful hair. Right? Isn't this awful? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I have bad luck buying Christmas presents. And so he buys this beautiful set of combs that are made out of expensive tortoise shell and jewels, and it's for her lovely long brown hair, which he doesn't realize she's chopped off. And so, long story short, in the end, each is disappointed to find their gifts useless. You ever get a useless gift? You open it up and you're kind of like, ah, thanks. But at the same time, each one is delighted with the gifts because they represent the sacrificial love that one had for the other. And so these two people love each other so much that in order to express their love for each other on Christmas, each surrenders the possession that means the very most to them. And even though they're in total poverty, they discover that they are rich in other ways. Each is willing to surrender that which is most dear to themselves in order to enhance that which is most dear to the other. It's a really powerful demonstration of love and sacrifice. And so, why on earth is this called the gift of the Magi? It should be, you know, the unfortunate gifts of Jim and Della. What is the significance of that? Well, let's look at the gifts. We touched on it briefly with the kids and youth this morning. Gold is always valuable. It makes sense, right? It's a gift for a king. But there was really powerful symbolism in that gift. When the Magi came to Herod, they really should have been presenting the gold to Herod. He was the king. And when the Magi come and they're bringing that gift for Jesus, and they're recognizing the infant Jesus as the legitimate king of the Jews, not Herod, can you imagine the insult? Have you ever had one of those moments in life where you think, well, I never. Hopefully that never happens. happens to you, but if you live long enough, it'll happen. No wonder Herod secretly plots then to get rid of Jesus, and he leaves no stone unturned to do it. Pretty soon, if you keep reading in Scripture, you're going to read about the slaughter of the innocents, where Herod orders all of the 2-year-old boys and younger be killed to ensure that he, Herod, would remain king and not have a usurper take his throne. So the goal wasn't just so that Mary and Joseph could buy diapers. It was significant of who Jesus is. So frankincense, I wish that I could bring some for you in here today, but it has a beautiful, beautiful scent to it. And in my upbringing and background, smelling that leads me into worship. It reminds me of how our prayers rise like incense before the Lord. And it's used in church and worship. The candles that were in the great temple of Jerusalem were scented with frankincense. And so the Magi weren't bringing frankincense to the temple in Jerusalem, although they could have offered it to those priests because they were there in the holy city. But they saved it to present to the baby Jesus. So instead of it going to the priests, it went to the one who was to be the great high priest, the one who would be the final and fully sufficient go-between between God and man. And so by offering the frankincense to him, they recognized who he was. Whether or not they completely understood it, we don't know. But they recognized who Jesus was to be. And so myrrh, that one, can you imagine being Mary and getting myrrh? Right, would it have sent a cold chill down your spine? You've grown up in this culture, you know what is used to embalm dead bodies. And you're getting myrrh for your baby. I don't know. So it was used for anointing, burial anointing. It has a fragrance like a fancy perfume. If anybody wants to smell any of these things on your way through, I'll have them at the back. But why would the Magi give myrrh to Jesus? What a strange gift. No Fisher Price toys, no diapers. I don't know. When Kristen and I had our babies, we were thrilled to get cases of diapers. Seemed like a very practical gift. Could the Magi have known that this infant boy was destined to die this horrible death? To make this sacrifice? It's possible, I suppose. Their expertise was in astrology, right? So they saw the star, they knew it had some meaning, and they left where they were. Some scholars think 400 or 500 miles away and traveled all the way to where Jesus was. The other thing is, these are foreigners from Persia. They're not Jews, most likely. They may have had some familiarity with Jewish people, but to travel that far, to worship somebody that's not associated with their faith, is pretty significant as well. So they follow the star, they find where Jesus is, they bring these gifts to honor the King of the Jews, and they not only present the gifts to him, but they bow down and they worship him. Again, they weren't Jews, they didn't know much about Judaism, most likely, but they knew what all Jews were supposed to be doing, worshiping the infant Jesus. Meanwhile, the actual King of the Jews, Herod, and perhaps his Jewish followers by this time, who reside in the political and religious center of Jerusalem, are trying to find Jesus, plotting to kill him. How ironic is that? You know, our Christmas traditions focus on the gifts of the Magi, right? They focus on the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Like I mentioned to the kids earlier, we're going to sing it in the closing hymn today, in We Three Kings. But there's one really important detail that we often gloss right over when we read this account in the Scriptures. And there's this single word that in the Greek, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this, so somebody can fix it if I do, but cross kinesi, which is translated who pay him homage. Okay? It literally means to prostrate oneself at the feet of a king. Have you ever done that anytime in your life? Literally laid down in front of somebody who is so powerful, hopefully God, and prostrated yourself before him? I don't know. Maybe not. But back in those days, this was something that was done in order to worship and honor. And so, we're told that the Magi went to pay him homage. They went to literally prostrate themselves at the feet of a king. If some of you have grown up in a Roman Catholic background, sometimes when people come into a church, before they come down the center aisle, sometimes they'll go down on one knee and pay respect in that way. That's another way of showing homage. I'm just trying to make it relatable, since no one's done this. But Herod tells the Magi that he wants them to tell him where Jesus is when they find him, so that he may pay him homage. So Herod's talking about doing this too. What a liar, though, right? So Herod's lying, but he's also engaging in some pretty serious irony. Herod confesses what he should do, but has absolutely no intention of doing. And so this guy, this tyrant who rules by violence and fear and needs to bow before the power of compassion and justice in order to actually find himself, just wants to kill him. So Herod's sort of ironic lie helps us to understand why the Magi's quest frightened not only Herod, but all Jerusalem with him, it says in Matthew 2:3. They understood what were the implications of Jesus' birth as soon as they heard it. So if this new king shows up, and he inspires total strangers to undertake a long, strenuous journey to an unknown location, so that they can pay him homage, literally prostrate themselves before this new king, then the power of Herod's world is completely doomed. And so the Magi continue on their way, they find the child, and then something really important happens. They don't immediately crack open their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The first thing they do upon entering the house is to kneel down and pay Jesus homage. In other words, they give themselves. Only after this act of worship, of giving themselves to Christ, do they then present their gifts. So the order of actions here is relatively significant. First, they offer themselves, and then they offer their gifts. For us, worship comes first. Gifts come second. Before we can offer anything to God, we must offer to God ourselves first. Until we totally dedicate ourselves to God, our gifts really kind of end up looking like bribes to curry God's favor. So once we give ourselves to God completely and unreservedly, we realize that everything we are and everything we have belongs to God, and there's really nothing to hold back. So O. Henry didn't call his story the gifts of the Magi, but the gift of the Magi, because the real gift of the Magi to Jesus was not the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, but themselves. The real gift from Della to Jim and Jim to Della was not the pocket watch chain or the fancy combs, but their sacrificial love for each other. Jesus brings us that sacrificial love. It's evidenced in him as king, priest, and sacrifice. And our response to him is to return ourselves to him and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." So in thinking about the new year, and I don't know if any of you have made resolutions, but Often they don't last. But I'd like to challenge us to consider, how can we offer the true gift of the Magi and offer ourselves completely to the Lord this year and trust Him with ourselves, our souls, and our bodies. In the name of Christ.